Ego eimi. Ego eimi is Greek for I am. And that's where we are in the Gospel of John, where there are seven I am statements. Last week, when there were very few people here, because you were all out at Beautiful Day or doing other things, we talked about, actually last Sunday was Good Shepherd Sunday. And so Jesus said, I am the gate. And it was clear in the passage that Jesus was the shepherd too. But the ego eimi statement was, I am the gate. And so the gate was what was open to let the sheep go out and graze and get the things that they needed, the nourishment, for the next day. And when they came in at night, the gate was closed to keep them safe, keep them from harm. This Sunday, what we read in John is, I am, thank you, wow, no, I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the way. This is the part in John that's called the farewell discourse. We've been there before. It was before Easter. And the farewell discourse is that very long goodbye that Jesus has for his disciples. It's chapters in John, but it's a long goodbye because he cares about them and he wants to prepare them for when he dies. And he has much to tell them. We are familiar with long goodbyes. And long goodbyes can be difficult, right? Sometimes they're even more difficult than the short goodbyes. And I say that because those are the goodbyes that are inevitable. We know they're coming. We know it's going to be hard. And they come. We try to prepare for them, but it's hard. So some of those long goodbyes, I would say for us, that many of us have experienced are things like moving from one side of the country to the other, or moving from this country to another country, where you have established strong relationships and you are going to have to say goodbye. But everybody knows you're leaving. You've already sold the house. You've already bought a house in the other place or found a place to rent, and you're going to have to go. You're going to have to say goodbye. And it's hard, even when you get to the last day and get to the moving truck and go on your way. Another long goodbye would be graduation. We have a lot of those coming up. Graduation from, especially when you're older and you're graduating from high school, you're graduating from college, you've already gotten to know a lot of people and made good friends. And yet, it is inevitable that you're going to graduate. Well, hopefully, you'll graduate and you'll have to say goodbye to friends. And you may see them again, but the reality is many of them you probably won't see again in person, probably on Facebook maybe, but it won't be the same. Another long goodbye is when you, if your child is going to go away from home for college, you know it's coming. And if it's the first one, it is hard. You take them after weeks of maybe preparing, and you drop them off, and say goodbye. And you don't know what it's going to be like, so it's hard. You don't know what's next. Another goodbye would be when you have someone in your family or a good friend or someone that you know who is terminally ill. And you know the time is coming. You don't know when, but it is inevitable. And you'll say goodbye, and it won't be easy. One more example of saying goodbye, a long goodbye, that's challenging for me anyway. When you call an interim rector, you know from the day they start that they are leaving at some point. It's inevitable. And at some point in time, we will be doing that. And it will be hard. We don't know what's happening next. I don't know what's happening next. You don't know what's happening next, but we know there's something, and it's going to be good, whatever it is. Because you see, we are Easter people. We live on this side of the resurrection, And we know that after the long goodbyes, there is something good. It's inevitable. Now, it might not be right away, but we know there is something good on the other side. Now, that wasn't the case, obviously, for Jesus and the disciples. Jesus wanted to prepare them as best he could for this inevitable long goodbye, a goodbye that they did not know what was coming next, and he knew that. So this goodbye, in this passage, Jesus is telling them that he's going to the Father. He's going to prepare a place, an abiding place. What we read as dwelling can also be an abiding place. And you know the Father, because the Father's in me. I don't know how comforting those words would have been to the disciples, because they didn't really know what was coming next. I mean, they were frightened, and it was scary, and they wanted to know, but there was only so much Jesus could tell them, except, let not your hearts be troubled. Being on this side of death and resurrection is hard. So I imagine for us, because we're on the other side, when we think of Jesus as the way, as he told the disciples he was the way, we probably can imagine what Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life means. We might not get all of it, but we probably know a little bit of what that means in our lives. We can trust that Jesus and the way will be revealed to us. And with all the experiences that we have in our life, we know that God will be revealed to us. We've seen it. Even when we can't see God, we know God. We know the works of Jesus, and we can see that. I have a friend named Sarah, and Sarah is a music therapist. I hope I haven't talked about this before. Sarah was a friend from seminary and had a music therapy practice. And even throughout seminary, she kept that practice, a few of her students anyway. And so one of her students was a young woman named Kiki. Kiki was about 19-ish, and Sarah was teaching her to sing. Now, Kiki had autism, and her particular behaviors with her autism were a lot of self-stimming, doing movements or things that look awkward to us. She had some behavior issues, like kids with autism often do. She had some language, but not a lot, so she would speak in maybe two-word sentences, but not in a full sentence, and she wouldn't have a conversation with you. And she preferred to be alone. If there was a crowd in the house, even if it's her family, she preferred to be in another room by herself. A lot like my daughter, actually, in a way. But the interesting thing is something special happened when Kiki opened her mouth to sing, when she still opens her mouth to sing. Sarah would share videos, of course, with her parents' permission. She would share videos with us. And all those things that are challenging for Kiki in her life, all of those things kind of get set aside. And when she starts singing, when she focuses on the music and opens her mouth, she sounds like an angel. You would not know that perhaps she's a little different than you and I. She sings like an angel. She looks at you, and she has a beautiful voice. And she's very focused on the song. Music does something for Kiki. It allows her to focus. In fact, the music transforms her, I would say. And I think that's probably not unlike the way the music here transforms us in worship when we are really getting into it and feel the words and feel it in our heart. Music can do that for us. So That focus is something I think that we could benefit from when we think about Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. When we're not sure, and when we're anxious and worried, if we can focus on Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, we might get that comfort that Jesus was trying to give the disciples. In fact, what if we thought of Jesus as the way? What if we considered knowing the way and following the way a song? What if we could sing a song where the lyrics were, "I am the way, the truth, and the life"? And things like, "You know the Father because you know me. And I'm going to prepare a place for you because I never want to be apart from you." Words like, "Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again." These are the words that can help us focus and get a hold of ourselves when we're saying the long goodbyes, all the things that we experience together. And then I wonder if it would be helpful if the song is there for us to focus on, but what if the title of the song is "Let Not Your Hearts Be Troubled"? That would be a great song. "Let not your hearts be troubled," and all those comforting words that Jesus had for the disciples and that Jesus has for us. We all go through these times, right? Hopefully not too often, but we have them. And we don't know what's on the other side. We know it's probably good, but we don't know for sure. And so we worry. And we are anxious, in maybe the same way that the disciples were. So it, I think, would be very helpful for us to think about knowing the way and focus on this song, this particular song. If we focus our lives and the life of St. Timothy's on this particular song, because Jesus is the way, and we already know the way. Thanks be to God.